What's good? What's good? We are back. Another episode of the Paul Pinker Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. About to bring on a special guest. He'll be fighting at BKFC 66 against Peter Peraza. And he's got one of the coolest names that I've heard out of all these fight names. Let's bring him on, the one and only Honky Kong himself, Raymond Pell. What's good, man?
How you doing, bro? How you doing today,
man? I'm doing good, man. Appreciate you taking out time to do this.
Yeah, bro. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I love the name. So I want to start with who came up with your fight name?
It actually has been my Instagram name for a long time, and I actually went through a couple fight names, and I don't know. We just started like going with Honky Kong, and it stuck, and everybody liked it. So that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, it's actually kind of coincidence, because when I was going through the fight card, I saw your name. I was like, man, this is the guy I want to interview, Honky Kong. Just because of the name, I was like, yo, that's cool as hell right there. So
no, it's definitely a catchy name for sure.
Yeah. So you had some MMA experience. What was that experience like?
Well, I mean, I like MMA. I had fun doing it. I really love jiu-jitsu. That's where like my cauliflower ears and shit come from. But okay. You know, I'm better at striking. I'm better at boxing. And I don't know. MMA, just they don't pay as well. So if I'm going to do something that's like willing that I'm going to get injured and hurt, the payoff's got to be a little better, in my opinion. And I'm better at striking, I feel like. I mean, I'm really good at jiu-jitsu, but I hate kickboxing. I'm not going to lie. I don't like the kicks and all that shit. So, but I'm really good at like boxing. So that's why I kind of went the bare knuckle route. And then in the meantime of bare knuckle, I like to try to do boxing matches as well.
Now, the bare knuckle route, you wasn't thinking at first that was kind of crazy?
You know, at first, yes, a little bit. But as I started to watch them and time went on, I had one of my buddies do it. And I seen his paycheck and I was like, and he lost at the time and it was still pretty good. So I was like, hey, dude, yeah, I'm going that route. Definitely, because ultimately, especially in BKFC, we're splitting the rounds in half. We're taking away the wrestling, we're taking away the knees, the kicks, the elbows, and we're taking off 4 ounces of gloves. Like, what's, I mean, yes, bare knuckle is a little different, but we're taking off the 4 ounce gloves, so it's not, I'm used to getting punched in the face with basically nothing anyway, so what's the difference? So that's kind of why I went that route. I don't know, I think the DNA in me of fighting, it is what it is, so I don't get, like, scared by the bare knuckle scene, I guess. Blood doesn't really affect me, and I just like to fight, so. And really, fighting originated with no gloves, so.
Yeah, before boxing and all that, straight up fist, and then they throw on gloves. So we're back to the original, you're right.
Right, but it's just a little, it's the original, but it's a little bit like modified of original. Because now we have like pro boxers, pro MMA guys, and people of all disciplines coming to this sport to try it. And I don't know, it's kind of it's cool because you have a different mixture of styles of people. So you're never really going to fight the same kind of opponent either.
Now, who got you into the BKFC?
My friend, Big Boy Chris Jensen, he's the one who kind of introduced me and got me. And he actually had put me in Valor first, and I won in Valor. And then he got me into BKFC at the last Miami card. And I'll be honest with you, I got injured during camp, and I didn't want to be a pussy. And I was like, man, fuck it, I'm going to fight anyways. And I fought Rohan Prado. Uh-huh. The kid's good. He was a 3-time Golden Glove champion and shit, Southpaw. And we went at it, and about 15 to 20 seconds in, I dislocated my shoulders. So, like, I was willing to keep fighting, but Andy Glenn, he's a really good ref. He's like, bro, it's not worth your career. Like, I'm stopping the fight, and it is what it is. So I rehabbed that. I got it better. I took a little bit of time off, and then as soon as I was cleared to go, I just started training really hard and wanting another fight. I actually took an MMA fight in the meantime, like, and it really, I didn't even want to take it. I really wasn't even training that hard for like MMA at all. I was really training for boxing. And the guy that was the main event was supposed to fight Crazy Horse or Felony, I guess he goes by now, but Charles Bennett, and some shit happened. He wasn't able to fight. So the kid was going to lose all his ticket sales. The promotion was basically going to lose their ass. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll step up and I'll fight in like 10 hours notice. I walked in there and the kid was 4-3. He had fought PFL last, and I trained with him minutely over at Fusion. So like, I was like, hey man, you know, I'm friends with these guys. Instead of them losing their ass on tickets and shit, I'll just go take the chance and fight and see how it goes. Now, the kid did message me and was like, hey, man, Centuro Bare Knuckle Boxer, we can just box with MMA gloves on. Which I was like, all right, man, that's cool. We can do that. So before the ref even, like, let us touch hands and all that shit, I said, hey, are we still for that deal? And he was like, yeah. Well, I caught him with the first two combos, and then here comes the leg kicks, like fucking out of nowhere, just kicking the shit out of my leg. So I checked a few of them, but by the end of the round, he had fucked my leg up so bad that I couldn't even walk on it. And I had dropped him a couple of times with my hands, so like, I knew my hands were good, but I haven't trained MMA in so long that I was like, fuck these kicks. And my whole leg was bruised, like, it was bad. It took like 3 weeks to heal the back of my leg after that, but... So I'm not going to, needless to say, I'm not going to take any MMA fights for that, like, matter anymore, just because if I'm going to do an MMA fight, I need to do an MMA camp and train kickboxing and everything.
Now, when you dislocated your shoulder, I've actually dislocated my shoulder before, too, and it sucks. Was that when you slipped and fell, when you dislocated it?
No, so when me and, okay, so this is how this worked. You know, like, if you, I guess you apparently watched that fight. So I slipped two times in that fight, and both times was in the same fucking puddle of, I'm assuming it was bucked up or whatever, like before me, the guy
won. Oh, yeah, they drank in the bucked
up. Two times I slipped in that shit, and even Rohan acknowledged it. Like, he was like, bro, I seen you slipping it. Like, it is what it is. So, like, a couple times, like, we were catching each other, but it was that initial, like, me and him went where we're dog fighting. Like, we weren't boxing. Yeah. We fucking went right at it, right off the rip, and we both clinched each other. And when I dislocated my shoulder, what had happened is I had like a 6-inch tear in my labrum right here. Oh. And I was still fighting. I didn't really know that I had the tear, but I knew something was fucked up. I got a cortisone shot before the fight and was like, fuck it. I'm just going to bite the bullet and do it. And when I clinched him and I got the half clinch in and I was uppercutting him, I was hitting him so fucking hard that I actually dislocated my own shoulder.
Oh.
And I realized that after... Like, the first slip, I got up, I was pissed, and I didn't realize my shoulder was that bad yet. I felt a little bit of pain in it, and obviously adrenaline's pumping and shit. I was more pissed that I slipped on the puddle of shit, and I was like, fuck. Yeah. So I got up, and we started going back at it. I caught him with, a pretty solid hook, and I felt my shoulder at that point, and I was like, dude, my shoulder's fucked. And then I was trying to block his punches. Like, so the second time I slipped, he had caught me like 3 or 4 times with his lead hand, because he's southpaw, was his right hand. And my lead hand was my left hand that I fucked up, and it wasn't going higher than this. So I was just eating fucking the punches as I slipped. And then when I got up, Andy's like, are you good? I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm conscious. Like, nothing hurt me or nothing like that. I was like, my shoulder's fucked up. It feels like I got stabbed in that bitch. And I was like, to be quite honest, it feels like my teeth are a little loose in that fucking last exchange, but I was like, really, my shoulder's fucked up, but I will still keep going. I don't mind. And then he was like, nah, bro, like, a shoulder injury is very serious, and you have potential to go farther in this career. I'd rather you just stop now, get your shoulder fixed, come back and fight another day. So technically, my only loss is a TKO, but it's really by injury, so... I'm not really sweating it, and if people want to go off that and bet against me, I hope they do, and God bless them. And the people that bet on me that I'm the underdog, they're probably going to win some good money.
Now, what do you think about, like you said, the match started and it was just right away. Do you think that's the smart way to go in BKC, to try to get it over as fast as you can?
Man, I'll be honest with you. No, I don't. I'm a strategic fighter. So
yeah,
I kind of, honestly, he was the leader of that fight. Before Andy even got knuckle up out of his mouth, we were hitting each other. So I just adapted right into the you know what I'm saying? I trained that way too. So I trained for everything. That I adapted, I had to flip the switch into, okay, grab this motherfucker by his head and start hitting him. Unfortunately, I was injured and fucked myself up. Or I feel the fight would have went on farther. And I feel in the future, I would like that rematch. Me and him are cool and everything, but it's just as a fucking athlete and sportsmanship, I'd like to get that loss back.
That's what's up. Now, how did you deal with that loss?
I'll be honest with you. It was some of the most depressing shit that I dealt with for a good solid minute. I couldn't train for like 2 months straight. Like, I had to rehabilitate my shoulder. And I did like certain things. I didn't have to have surgery, thank God. And I had my doctor help me get it right. So, it got right. They put it back into place. They helped me get it healed. It's now, I mean, it's a little, I can deal with a little bit of pain that's there because it's nothing like it was, but it is, I would say 95% there. So that's why I'm willing to take the fight. I trained my ass off. I'm back to lifting weights now. Like, there was a time there I couldn't lift. I didn't lift for 10 months. And I mean, genetically, thank God I'm built great. And I'll still do like strength and conditioning and shit, but now I'm lifting again. So I'm like, all right, I'm getting bulkier, like back to where I was. And like, not that I really lost a lot of muscle mass. I just think mentally I felt like, man, I'm not, maybe not as strong as I was. But then after 10 months, I got under 300 pounds and hit it for five. So I was like, fuck, I guess it's still there.
Do you feel some kind of like pressure? Because like, I've interviewed a few cats and they said that they have injuries before the matches, and they say the same thing to you, man. They just don't want to feel like they're quitting or something. They still want to go out there and fight. You think sometimes it's better to just say, hey, maybe I just need to get my shoulder right or something like that?
1,000%. I've said this since my last fight. I'll never take a fight on injury again. And now that I'm credible for that, and I've, you know, talked to the guys in there, and I got a really good manager, Ryan Perez with Slaughterhouse. He told me straight up, like, since I signed with him now, he's like, if you're injured, we'll not take a fight. That's the dumbest shit ever. He's like, just, we won't do that. And I agree with him. So if I'm actually injured and I have documentation that I'm injured, I would never be like, oh, my pussy hurts, I'm not coming to fight. Like, I have to really show them that I'm fucked up. But with that being said, I knew I was fucked up in that fight, but I just felt like maybe this was my only shot and fucking I gotta go try and give it hell, you know. And once I talked to everybody afterwards, they were like, bro, I can't believe you even stepped up to do it. That's fucking crazy. But I did. I learned my lesson. They say learns or losses are learning situations. I learned in that one. I learned not to take a fight on injury ever again. But I'm feeling good. Like, right before this podcast, I just ran like 4.5 miles.
That's what's up. Fortunately, I got a metal rod in my leg. I can't even jog a mile right now. So Peter Peraza, how much do you know about him?
So what I've watched his fights. He looks pretty jacked. He looks a little bit shorter than me. I watched his last fight with Wanya Reed, and me and Wanya are cool. So I seen him at my last fight. Me and him are relatively about the same height, give or take. I might be a little taller. He might be a little taller, but we're really close. So watching that fight, how it played out and his length working for him, I can see that helping me in a point, because I can fight inside and I can fight outside. And I'm used to fighting inside because I'm usually the shorter guy. So I've also noticed that Peraza is a inside fighter. He likes to shoot for the clinch. He loves to go for the clinch. And I'm training for that. I got all my whole camp. We're all sitting down. We're watching the videos and we're training for that style. And we're training for, and I even have regular boxers come in and get regular rounds in just in case the fight goes a different way. But from the two fights that I've seen of him, it looks pretty relative that he fights the same way. The first guy, I don't think that guy was really like meant for bare knuckle. And he was able to like really like beat the dog shit out of him. And he had a good fight. I give that to him. He had a great fight. I just don't think the opponent was meant for bare knuckle. He did last the 5 rounds. I just don't know that he's was tough enough for it. You know, he wasn't able to take the punches as well as some people. Like, I don't know. I can't really say much because I did get dropped in my last fight, but I feel like my drop was more of slipping in a puddle than getting dropped. Like, so I've got a really strong chin and I don't really get dazed easy. I do see him having some power. He's big as fuck, dude. Like, he's definitely jacked. I'm not going to, like, say anything that other people would probably say about him, but the dude's big, man, and he's strong, and I know I've been there before, so I know exactly what I'm dealing with. And as long as I can last my cardio, like yesterday I did 25 rounds of sparring after I did like 15 rounds of warm-up, so that's, and all at 2 minutes, because BKFC is 2 minutes with 45 second breaks in between. So I really like to build my cardio. Then I do strength and conditioning as well. So I think I'm going to be ready for it, and I'm going to be pretty smart about my game plan.
Do you expect him to just try to come out and, like they say, just like fight like a dog, I guess they say?
Well, what I've noticed about him is I think he tries to be smart and calculated a little bit too, because I've noticed in the past couple fights, he doesn't do that, and maybe he does this time, and I'm prepared for that. Like I said, I'm willing to fight like that, but I don't think he's like that. I think he wants to be smarter. I think he wants to get the win, and he wants to pick the shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, as well as myself, and I think it's actually a very good matchup for like Nate Nelson or whoever matched it. It's actually a pretty good matchup. So, I like it. I think it's going to be a great fight. And I'm working my ass off for it. I'm sure he's working too. I seen his little video on Instagram. It was actually fucking hilarious. I laughed my ass off at it. All my people were commenting on it and shit. But the dude was looking me up, and they posted my picture from tryouts on there. And I don't know what it was. I look super, super jacked. I mean, I'm pretty decent sized dude, but I look really, really jacked in the photo. And he was like, what the fuck? This dude don't look like he can make 165. Holy shit. They sure this is my opponent? And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm your opponent, bro. But I make 155 usually. I'm actually doing 65 this time because for him, I don't think he can actually make 55. And not, I mean, no digs to him. The dude's a fucking jacked little dude. Like, if he can't make 55, he can't make it. I understand.
Do you get caught up in the shit talking when fighters like to, you know, call cats out and stuff?
I mean, honestly, I'm in it to climb to the top, and respectfully, I like to let my work and my talent show that. If somebody talks shit about me, then of course I'll you know, stand up for myself, but I'm not one to, like, go out and be like, hey, fuck you, motherfucker. Like I really don't have that disrespect for people. Like, this, even this kid, like, I don't have no hate towards him. It's our job. Like, we're going out there to fight. Like, we're entertainers, you know what I'm saying? We're entertaining the world. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be an excellent fight.
Now, I normally ask fighters what's their greatest strength, but what do you think is your biggest weakness that you might need to focus on?
Truthfully, my biggest weakness that I need to focus on is just, I mean, I think my biggest weakness is that I get injured usually because I train too hard. So I got to focus on that, really, not getting injured, making it to a fight. And that would be what I really need to focus on, because everything else is there. I traveled to good gyms to train. Like, I'll be at Fusion this weekend to spar with, I mean, I'm sure Mike will be there. I don't know. After he boxed Jake, he might not be there for a little bit. But besides him, there's a shitload of good fighters over there. Alex Nicholson, Mike Davis, Joe Pennefell. And the list goes on, like David Zellner, the kid I just fought. But every Saturday they have an open sparring, so I usually try to make it over there and spar with those guys. And this camp, definitely. And then I'm going to be going down and training with Ryan as well, with the Slaughterhouse team.
And get Ryan who?
Ryan Perez, my man.
Okay. Okay, well, I want to ask you about BKFC, like the current state of BKFC, how do you feel about it, and how big do you think this is going to be as a sport?
I feel like BKFC has it kind of on lock right now. Their only competition is BYB. And, dude, let's be real. They've thrown almost 100 shows now since they started in a few years' period of time. And what's UFC at 300? And they've been going since 92. These guys have been going since, like, fucking 2018.
Wait, UFC's only at 300?
300 and something, yeah, like 305.
And BKFC's at 100? That, I mean, that's a lot of shows.
At 100. I'll be fighting on 66, so that's
66.
Like,
but that's
closer to 100 than other shows, though.
But you, if you count in the other, like Knucklemania and Fight Night, I mean, they probably are at 100, right?
Actually, yeah, you're probably right. I don't know if they put those in numbers or not, because
they don't. They usually don't, but they, I mean, if you add them up, you know, they got a bunch of Knucklemanias.
You're right, because like the fight that I did last was Fight Night, and it was in the littler ring at that, yeah, too. So like they have Fight Nights, and that wasn't a number. So let's just think, this is their 66 pay-per-view event that they said 66, and that's not a Knucklemania event that was pay-per-view. And they've probably had, with the Prospect Series, yeah, and the Fight Nights, yeah, you're probably right. They probably are at 100 right now. So it's like they're rapidly catching up to UFC in events, and more guys are coming over. Like, it's actually filling up. It's actually pretty popular right now. Like, a lot of guys are rolling into bare knuckle, and I see it being like probably the biggest sport next to UFC in the world in the next year or two. If not, yeah, there now. I mean, it's definitely the fastest growing by all means.
There's definitely a lot of fighters in the BKFC. Your weight class alone, are you typically a featherweight?
No, I fight at lightweight, 155.
Lightweight. Okay, so, I mean, even lightweight, that's this Luis Palomino, Tony Loco Soto.
Right, he's fighting
Bryce Henry. I mean, that's a stacked. Ooh.
Bryce is on my team though too, so I don't,
oh, he's on your team, so you won't fight Bryce.
I don't. Yeah. Well, I mean, probably not. I don't think Ryan would let that happen. But also, Bryce hasn't had a fight in a while. People duck him. They don't want to fight him because he's good, man.
I don't. Yeah, I could see that. Because
that's
another.
But that's another problem that we're running into here. Is you see a lot of these guys will duck fighters because of either their grittiness or they have a chance of beating them. Shit. Since I met Ryan, the first fight he was gonna get me, I was willing to take it on 8 hours' notice. It was a boxing match. The dude was 4-0. It was my debut boxing as pro. The dude was 4-0 with all four knockouts. And I was looking him up, and I noticed that he had fought a lot of people with, like, more losing records or whatnot. But one of the guys with a losing record was a guy that had trained with me for a little bit, and I had actually attended the fight, and he dropped him, like, numerous times. The reason he lost is because he gassed out. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'll take that fight right now. And they were willing to pay me pretty good money, and it was only in Tampa, a couple hours away. So I was like, yeah, bro, I'll be there by fucking 7 o'clock. What's up? So I was waiting. About an hour goes by. They call me back. The guy refused to fight me. He said, no, I want to pick somebody I can beat. This guy beat my last coach in his first bare knuckle fight. I don't want to fight him. So they were pissed off about it because they're like, we have somebody willing to come fight you, and you're not fighting the guy. It's fight day. Like we got to figure this out. And, yeah, the dude didn't take it. He actually, he ended up, like, letting him keep his ticket money and shit, which is crazy.
Do you feel like this is the wrongest sport to be expecting to preserve, you know, your fight record? I mean, everybody's going to lose in BKFC at some point.
I do. I feel like in BKFC, if you show up to fight, though, they're going to like you. No matter what, win or lose, and especially if you take it to a decision sometimes, and it's a good little fight, or if you knock a few people out, or say you get hurt and lose a fight, or even lose a fight by getting dropped or some shit, you know what I'm saying? It's inevitable. It's gonna happen. Like, even the greatest gets beat unless they retire at a young age. You know what I'm saying? Like Khabib, like he could have probably gotten beat, but he retired at a good age to where he didn't. So. Everybody has their day saying that, you know. I've had some days, too. I've lost in my amateur career. I've lost in my pro career now. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's just the dog that shows up to fight. And if they like the dog that shows up to fight, you can be a superstar with a couple losses. It doesn't really matter.
So, it's hard for you as a newcomer to get new fights as well?
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Ryan's a good manager. It's not really that hard. They were kind of waiting on me to get healed up. Like, I fought, this will be my second fight this year for BKFC.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I mean, they do typically want to keep me in Florida. I was trying to get on the Sturgis card because my birthday's the next day. And I was like, oh, that'd be fucking dope to go to Sturgis and fight and you know, my birthday. But they were like, we have other plans. And then, like, a few days later, they sent me the information about this fight. So, And another thing, it's in Florida. I live in Florida. Although I live, you know, a few hours away, I usually sell a decent amount of tickets still. And I think they like that as well. I'd like to sell more, but I mean, like I said, if it's a 4 or 5 hour drive, I can sell as many as I can sell, but they respect the fact that I try it.
And all due respect to the Sturgis card, the card you're on is so much better.
It is. I mean, yeah, looking at it, yes, that is a stacked card. They just added a couple new fights to it that actually are fucking really exciting. AJ Rodriguez versus LeBron, like, that is a really good fight. And I'm actually excited for that fight. AJ's been trying to get a fight since Valor. He fought on the same card as me. And he knocked the dude out, like, in a few, it was like in the first round. It wasn't very long. But he dropped the dude, knocked him out. And he's been trying to get a fight since October. So he's finally got a fight. It's almost been a year now. So I'm excited to see him fight because that kid works hard.
Yeah, I noticed some of these fighters, they seem probably anxious to get in their fights because a lot of these guys, it'd be a whole year before they fight. I mean, could you wait that long for a fight? You couldn't wait that long, could you?
Respectfully, I'll box in between waiting. I'll go and do boxing matches if I did have to wait. I mean, I'd like to make fighting my main priority to where I make enough money to, like, not have to go do a work in the hot sun and shit all day and then train. And then, you know what I'm saying? I'd rather be making good enough money. So the more, the better. So the more I train, the better I get, the more wins I get, the more, like, probability is that I'll be able to do that. But in between bare knuckle fights, I would definitely take boxing matches to fill in the void.
Do you ever look at getting fighter of the night as a goal?
I would love for it. I actually pushed for it my very first fight. The kid I fought was actually rather talented. He was number one, 145 in Florida for a long time as an amateur. And we went to decision, and I pulled some punches. Like, I could have probably hit him a lot harder than I should have a few times, but it was my first bare knuckle fight, and I didn't want to break my hand, and he actually broke his hand in the first round, and, like, I heard it break. I seen his hand swelling up, so I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to break my hand. So scoring knockdowns and getting him, like, in Valor, you could get them to push out of bounds kind of deal, and you'd get points, so that's what I did. But I feel like we did, like, they didn't give out bonuses. I feel like we got fight of the night. So, like, yeah, I would like that or a knockout of the night. Any kind of performance bonuses is great. I would love it.
I heard something today on the Bare Knuckle Show. David Feldman called Brian Scotia, and he brought up some names. One was Kurt Angle, possibly doing something with BKFC, and Brock Lesnar, talking about Brock Lesnar taking off the gloves. What would that do for the sport?
I think it would be great. Okay, so first off, now that we're on this subject, Mark Hunt wants to come over here, and, like, all due respect, the dude's a combat legend. But when Brock beat him up at UFC 200 or whatever it was, Brock won the fight. He cried about steroids and cried about steroids and cried about steroids. So now what are they going to do? Now what if they have to meet up again and Brock beats his ass even worse in a bare-knuckle boxing match per se? And who knows? Maybe he doesn't. Maybe Mark beats him this time because Brock can't wrestle him. But Brock hits hard as shit. I know that. So with that being said, is he going to go cry and be like, this guy's on juice and blah, blah, blah? So, like, that's my biggest thing on that. I mean, no disrespect to the dude, but he did do that before. So,
and what about Kurt Angle? Because I don't think he'll fight.
Wait,
but
Kurt Angle's coming to fight in the BKFC?
I don't know if he's coming to fight, but I'm thinking, like, David Feldman.
That's like Mike Tyson trying to fight fucking Jake Paul. That's crazy. The dude's old. I don't.
Feldman brought his name up. I'm thinking he might play more of an ownership role.
That would be I think that's probably what they would probably go for. I mean, Kurt Angle's got to be in his 60s at least, late 50s. Not in no shape to go get punched in the face by a 25-year-old kid, you know?
He did win an Olympic gold with a broken neck, though.
I mean, he did. He did win the Olympics with a broken neck, but as an old man, I guess for this sport, that's old.
I've actually seen some old, like, what's that guy that's fighting? Let me pull up this BKFC Sturgis. There's somebody fighting on it that's almost 50, I think.
He's fucking out of his mind. I mean, I want to be done and over with it by the time I'm 45.
That's the age I am right now.
I'm 32 on Sunday. I got a good couple year run, so I hope I can do what I can do in that few year run.
Yeah, this guy right here, William Albrecht. He's 47, yo. He's fighting Josh Dyer. Is that a little too old, you think?
The dude that's fighting Josh Dyer?
Yeah, he's 47.
I don't think he should be fighting Josh Dyer, probably. I mean, Josh Dyer is a fucking beast, but and he's mean and he's aggressive. He wants to break your face. I mean, that's his intention. So this is all I gotta say about it. God bless him. Hopefully he does great. I hope that he trained his ass off. This is my thing. Once you get to a certain age, I don't care how good a shape you're in, and this is my same thing on Mike Tyson with Jake Paul. He was an excellent fighter in his prime, yes. You're now, I think, what, Mike's in his late 50s or whatever. You're now looking at brain aneurysms. You're looking at heart attacks. You're looking at strokes. You're looking at all this potential shit that could happen in the middle of the fight at that age. So, no, I don't think that it's smart. I mean, if they want to, by all means, go for it. But, I mean, maybe they're getting blood tests and their doctors are telling them that they're good to go, too. So, I don't know. I think this is more of a younger man's sport, and I feel like in the 40s is about the time that it edges down.
Do you think, you see Mike Tyson, they had the wheelchair at the airport. You think that was because he was just working out so, so hard?
Could have been. I mean, shit, dude, I'm 32 and I go through a hardcore training camp and I'm sore as shit every day when I wake up. So, I mean, imagine me being 2 decades older, what I would feel like. I probably would want to be in a wheelchair.
What's your advice for newcomers trying to get in a bare knuckle, especially the newcomers that think that's just a tough man sport?
Well, okay, so a lot of those guys find out really quick, as you can see. Like, there's a lot of dudes that come in there and they get hurt badly. And it's like a lot of guys that would per se come from the street or something and then want to fight against a professional boxer, a professional MMA fighter in a bare knuckle fight, I would say definitely get a shitload of training in, because they have eons on you in training. And it's not a tough man sport now because it's a professional sport. Tough man competition back in the day was like a tough man sport. That's like, hey, we're at a Biketoberfest and there's a bunch of drunk motherfuckers here. Like, let's get them in the ring and fight each other and we'll see who the toughest guy was. So this isn't that. This is a professional league of no glove fighting, which you could get really fucked up really easy if you don't know head movement, if you don't know how to pivot, you don't know how to do like certain things, you can get hurt really badly. Just even blocking defensively the correct way, like a lot of people will keep, especially newcomers, will keep their hands down very low and they will get fucked up very quickly because of that.
I'm gonna have a couple more questions for you and then we're gonna let you do some shout outs. The women of BKFC, do you feel like they should get more fights during each card, or do you think one fight for the women is just right?
Man, it's really on, they could put a couple more on there probably. I mean, there's a lot of them like coming in now, women wise. Mm-hmm. I gotta say like hats off to them because it is a very brutal sport. So like the girls that do it are definitely wild as shit. But, yeah, I think they should probably put the more that they get of them, they should probably put a couple more on a card, per se, just to get them more active, probably. Mm-hmm. But that's not up to me. That's up to the promotion and the owners and shit, you know.
They know the best. They tend to typically go all the way every single match, and I think that makes for better matches as far as the fan perspective goes. Like sometimes, like last main event, you had Perez got knocked out in 5 seconds. I mean, that's gotta suck as a fighter and as a fan to, like, you know, wait all these months to see this big match or be in this big match and it's just over just that quick.
And it could be like I said, some people don't have the jaw structure and shit to take the hits, you know, like, luckily God blessed me with a pretty strong jaw. So like I kind of throughout my career so far, I've been able to withstand like hard hits and shit. But by no means am I trying to take excessive hits. I like to move my head a lot and move away from the punches, and it's brutal. So like for the women to come in and do it, like, I don't know, like maybe they're thinking that it's too barbaric for them or something, but I don't know, if they have the will to do it, then give them the shot for sure. And then some people like to see that shit. I mean, some people find it like amazing to watch women beat the shit out of each other. I know my last fight, there was a girl fight on it, and it was probably fight of the night.
Yeah, I like them. They seem to get more personal. Bretton Hart was on Bare Knuckle Show. She was just calling Taylor the bitch this, bitch that. And, you know, the dudes, like, y'all knock a guy out and then y'all hugging afterwards. Y'all seem to have a lot more respect. And even when it does get personal, maybe before the match, it seems like as soon as the match is over, that's, like, pretty much done and over with.
I think if you notice, more of the shit talkers are the dudes that are, like, younger, that are, like, in their 20s, they have a lot of piss and vinegar in them still. Like, I've been through that stage too, and I've learned lessons through that as well. And I've always learned the more humble you are throughout it, if you do get your ass whipped, the less humble pie you got to eat at the end of the fucking, at the end of the day. And as a man, like, it's a man's sport. I respect the other men that do it, especially the ones that, you know, I'm going to have to face. Like, I do respect them. Like, respectfully, you're getting in a ring to get punched in the face by me, and I'm getting punched by you. So it's a respect thing. I mean, if it gets personal, I don't like when people like talk shit about my family or my kid and shit like that. Then I get a little pissed off. But I mean, if you're just gonna call me like a punk ass cracker or a pussy white boy or fucking a bitch or something, I'm just gonna laugh it off and just tell you God bless, you know. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Well, you seem a lot like me because you call yourself the Honky Kong. So I think like cracker and things of that nature probably just bounce off you like they do me. I never really
I got the slurs like that. I do white, so I don't.
Yeah, really with that. I do too. So,
I really don't get fucked with like that a lot, and it's funny because like a lot of times like. So, like, I have, like, a fight club, and there's a lot of black kids in it that come there, and, like, there's a lot of talent from amateur to pro, and we got, like, 100 people in it. It's called TBE Fight Club. I'm going to shout them out, too. But we're actually about to open our own gym and everything, but we got a box and all kinds of stuff, and when I'm not training at gyms, I'll go into the chat and be like, yo, hey, we're going to get some rounds in out at the ring today, and literally, like, dude, like, usually 10, 15 people show up, sometimes maybe even more, like, yesterday I went out there and got 25 rounds in with fresh rounds the whole time. So it was, it's good. I like it. It's definitely growing. And I like to see the evolution because there is good guys on my level that come there and will like get good rounds in. And then I get to see the younger guys that are evolving too. I really enjoy that.
All right. So before we get out of here, what can we expect from you on your fight at BKFC 66, man?
You can expect fireworks. I'm coming out there to get the job done. I feel like I have to make up for my last fight being injured and obviously having to stop the fight. So I'm not going to be stupid about it. There's definitely not really like trying to put myself in dangerous situations. So I'm going to fight smart, but I'm also going to fight like a dog because it comes natural. Like, even my sparring partners are like, dude, you're so fucking aggressive. It's scary to spar you. And it's like, it's not even that I'm aggressive. It's just, I get focused. And like, once I'm focused, like, it's like fucking tunnel vision. Like, I'm coming after the keeping my eye on the prize type shit.
That's what's up. Before we go, anybody you want to shout out?
Yeah, I would love to shout out definitely Ryan Perez. Like, he's been helping me a shitload lately. Nick Samson at HKA, that dude's like phenomenal, man. Like he helps me out so much, as well as Nate at No Quarter Combatives. They both help me a shitload. And then they got another partner named Matt, and he is Support Your Local Fighters, and he's doing all my shirts now. And as you can actually, here's my shirt.
Yeah, I see right it. Here. Yeah, the Honky Kong. Yeah.
Dope, you know, so I'd love to give a shout out to him. And then I got a bunch of local sponsors, and like Sunshine State Bulldogs, Busy Bee Roofing. I definitely want to shout out the Fight Club, Fusion XL, all the guys that let me train with them too, the bigger gyms, Angel Ortiz, stuff like that. But definitely the Fight Club, because we're growing, and I want people to see them, and I want to see these kids evolve as well, because there's kids in here that are evolving and training with those pros and shit that are trying to get better. So I want to definitely shout them out, and I want to shout out Russ. I don't know if you know who Russ is, but Russ is
from Extreme BKFC. Yeah, I know Russ.
He is one of the most coolest guys, man. He hooked me up with this chain actually. He's super, super supportive, always supporting me, always calling me, checking on me. Hey, man, how are you doing? Like, he's a real dude. I like him a lot.
Nah, so, he's more than a fan, man. He's part of the BKFC family. He's part of family,
Right, he's a good dude. I love that guy. So I definitely want to shout him out. And and I just want to say, like, all glory to God, man. Like, I wouldn't be to where I am without God. Like, truthfully, I really wouldn't be. So shout out to God and my family as well.
Well, I want to shout you out for reaching out for the interview. Appreciate you reaching out and taking the time to do it. You're a friend of the show now, and I'm definitely a fan now. So I'm going to follow and support everything you do, you know, on social media. Make sure I follow all your social medias and you know, stay in touch, man. And I'm going to keep reaching out, man. Make sure everything's good to go with you, man.
Yes, sir. Salute to that one, brother. I appreciate you. And we will keep in touch, and we can do more podcasts in the future as well. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you. And I can't wait to see your fight, man. Good luck, man.
Thank you. I can't wait. It's going to be a good show.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You as well, brother.
All right. Peace. Well, you got Raymond Honky Kong Pell. He'll be fighting the BKFC 66 against Peter Peraza, September 13th, 2024, Seminole Hard Rock Cafe, or Seminole Hard Rock Casino, and I think Cafe, if I'm not mistaken. And that's in Hollywood, Florida. It's going to be another sold-out crowd. You got Reber versus Blas, Redneck versus King Mo. You also got Howard Davis is now on the card as well. Bunch of great fights, man. Bunch of great fights. And the Honky Kong will be fighting as a featherweight match. I mean, you got Smith versus Townsville. LeBron versus Rodriguez. Perez versus Jeffrey. You got Marie versus White. And of course, Perdomo versus Banks. Perdomo is another one of my favorites. He's a beast. He's going to be a tough one to take out. And if Banks beats him, that'll be very, very shocking. Of course, you got Davis versus the undefeated James Brown. And for the belt, you got Reber versus Blas. Blas just beat rock star Keith Richardson for the belt recently. And now he has to defend it against Ryan Royal Reber. But yeah, make sure y'all go follow my man, Honky Kong, Raymond Pell, on Instagram. Check out his fights. BKFC 66, he'll be coming soon to entertain us. Once again, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace, and I'm out.